Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, it's that time of year, so we should talk a little bit about graduation, whether that's from kindergarten, preschool, grammar school, high school, but this more so about college is certainly written by a very talented writer, Mary Schmeek. It was originally published as a mock, facetious, kind of sardonic graduation speech in a column by Chicago Tribune writer Mary Schmeek, hypothetically delivered a commencement speech. What kind of advice would she give? In part, some sage, thoughtful, always remembered words of wisdom, as we try to do to our graduates or to our young people. And she made it into a little book, which is kind of something that kind of give the young ones when they graduate. It's entitled Wear Sunscreen, A Primer for Real Life. So this is her pretend graduation speech. Wear sunscreen. If I could only offer you one tip of advice for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen has been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basic more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until you've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall, in a way you can't grasp now, how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future. Or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindside you at 4 a.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. And don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, and sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's really only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. And maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance, so are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever know. Dance, even if you have nowhere to do it but your living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people who knew you when you were young. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse, but you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, you will look like 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. But trust me on the sunscreen. So from Mary Schmeek, her imaginary commencement speech in her column, first dated June 1st, 1997. But there's certainly a timelessness about it. A primer for real life. For all the graduates in all the stages of their academic progress. We're going to jump to a little music by a gentleman we had on the show a while back, Herb Alpert. His first hit, The Lonely Bull. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Lonely Bull, Herb Alpert. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Don't want to forget to mention this from Margaret Reuter, the marketing manager from Ballet Chicago, and our good friend Daniel Duell, who is artistic director and founder of Ballet Chicago. Ballet Chicago will light up the stage of the Harris Theater for Music and Dance for two performances of Illuminate on Saturday, May 30th at 2 and 7:30. The program will feature works by George Balanchine, Ballet Chicago resident choreographer Ted Seymour, and artistic director Daniel Duell. The Harris Theater for Music and Dance is located at 205 East Randolph at the north end of Millennium Park in downtown Chicago. Illuminate, Ballet Chicago's fourth consecutive spring repertory series production at the Harris Theater, will feature George Balanchine's jazzy Gershwin classic Who Cares, his exquisite Tchaikovsky Pas de Deux, and three Harris Theater premieres, resident choreographer Ted Seymour's A Pulse Stolen in Danzon, and artistic director Daniel Duell's acclaimed Concerto in A Minor. Ticket information is available at the Harris Theater box office at 312-334-7777 or visit BalletChicago.org. Ballet Chicago was founded in 1988 by acclaimed dancer-choreographer Daniel Dewell and former ballerina Patricia Blair. Dewell performed as a principal male dancer with the New York City Ballet under the world-renowned choreographer George Balanchine, and Patricia Blair's distinguished career including performing many Balanchine works under the direction of Balanchine star Edward Villella. So don't forget, that's May 30th at 2 and 7:30 at Harris Theater for Music and Dance. For information, 312-334-7777. Always look forward to Ballet Chicago's production of The Nutcracker, which comes up, of course, sooner than we probably think. But always a great ensemble with some great work. Art festival season in the Windy City. Amder Productions brings art, music, and joy to Chicago with free festivals. For 32 years, holy cats, Amder Productions has produced Chicago's most celebrated summer art festivals. This summer's shows attract art lovers from across the country and feature original pieces from world-renowned artists. While art lovers come to discover new works or add to their collections, these festivals offer an experience for all. A family on a budget, a couple looking for art for their home, the music lover looking to enjoy a free concert, or the foodie hoping to sample tasty summer fare. As always, all of Amder's Productions festivals are free, outdoors, and open to the public and offer something for everyone. Families are looking for opportunities to share happy experiences together during these tough economic times, says Amy Amder, founder of Amder Productions. Art has the power to speak to you. It can elevate your mood and perspective. We want each of our guests to take that feeling home with them, whether it's with a new piece of art or the memory of a perfect summer's day. And coming up this weekend, the 6th Annual Barrington Art Festival returns Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd and 24th, along Cook and Station Streets in downtown Barrington. This year, the festival, which runs from 10 to 5, coincides with the celebration of the village's 150th anniversary. The Barrington Art Festival is delighted to serve as part of the festivities that are making the village's anniversary, says Amy Amder, president of Amder Productions. Adding art to Barrington's already charming downtown, which is filled with fantastic cafes, boutiques, and restaurants, only enhances the village's appeal as a must-visit, must-see weekend destination. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businesswoman, entrepreneur, teacher, mentor, art gallery owner, one of America's leading promoters of art and artwork in all its forms and genres, one of the brightest stars in the world of art and arts festivals, and a special lady I call the Diva Extraordinaire of Summer Arts Festivals, now presenting the 2015 Amder Arts Festival season with the 6th Annual Barrington Arts Festival, May 23rd and 24th in beautiful downtown Barrington, and the 7th Annual Millennium Arts Festival, May 29th, 31st on Michigan Avenue and Lake Street, and the 13th Annual Promenade of Art Festival, June 6th and 7th in downtown Arlington Heights. And on the line with us right now is our good friend, Ms. Amy Amder. Amy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Good morning, Kevin. Nice to talk to you today.
Always a pleasure. And, you know, 32 years, Amy?
Do you know it's 32 years and more than 200 festivals?
Wow.
Can you believe it?
You know, I was thinking about that as I'm putting together our conversation. The first one, tell me about the first one.
The very first one was in Highland Park, and we started it with only 40 artists.
Really?
And it was a... It was a labor of love. I was just helping launch some new projects in downtown Highland Park, and the project was called the Port Clinton Square.
Mm-hmm.
So we called the first art festival the Port Clinton Art Festival, and that was about 32 years ago. We started with 40 artists, and little did I know then that 32 years later, 200 festivals later, you know, we would be, you know, the company that we are today.
And quite an extraordinary company, of course, led by the extraordinary Amy Amder. And I'm looking at this year's lineup, 20 fairs, right, Amy?
Yes, we have 20 art festivals.
Wow.
So really, every weekend we have a festival. And all you have to do if you're interested in going to an art festival is go to our website, amderproductions.com. That's A-M like mother, D like David, U-R, the word productions with an S.com. And we have all of our festivals there, and chances are we have a festival either in your city or nearby, because 20, you know, it's a festival a week from now all the way through September. And as you mentioned, this weekend we are excited to be returning to Barrington for what they call their sesquicentennial, their 150th anniversary celebration. We have artists from 22 states coming in to Barrington. So this is a great opportunity to be outside, be with your family, you know, enjoy the art, see a collection of artists who you otherwise wouldn't get to see, all in one location. And every weekend we have a different group of artists who specifically have applied and what we call juried for that festival. So every weekend it's a new chance to see artists in all different mediums, and everything from paintings and photographs, jewelry, work in wood, work in glass, work in metal, sculpture, functional art, which would be something like a beautiful table that an artist made, to anything your imagination can come up with, really, it will be with us. We have about 835 artists that we will be featuring this summer throughout the Chicago area.
Wow.
That's a lot of artists.
A lot of artists. And one thing I want to accentuate among others is when you go to an art fair and you see something you like and you think, well, you know what? Maybe I'll come back tomorrow or I'll see her or him at a different art fair. That might not be the case. And if you see something, you might want to not take a second chance and pick it up right then and there, because it might not be there when you come back.
Well, that's absolutely true. And even for those artists who are, for the public who's looking to buy art, I always say go early, because it's not as crowded and it gives you a chance to see the first pickings, you know. So if you really want to find the very best, go early Saturday morning, walk through the show, get a program, we give them out free, and mark the artists who you are interested in. Take the opportunity, with the artist being present, to talk to them and find out about the work, how the artist made it, why they made it, their background. And if you love the art, mark it down. Then I say go take a little break. You know, we always have food and we have live music at our festivals. And then go back to those artists who you have, you know, felt some affinity for. And if you love it, as you say, that's a really good time to buy it, because chances are that art's not going to be in the booth again. Someone else is going to love it and fall in love with it. And the worst feeling is to not have taken the opportunity to acquire that art when you can. And speaking of the art, and Kevin, you mentioned this in the intro, we have art at all different prices. You could build a beautiful collection on a budget. So if you're looking to buy $25 one-of-a-kind glass paperweights, you can do that. If you are in the $250 range and want to buy photographs and paintings, you can buy original work at that price. And for those people who are looking for larger pieces, $500,000, $2,500, even some of our festivals have work well over that number for some of the really giant-sized sculpture, there's something for everyone at the festival. So no matter who you are, first-time apartment or a large home with a big art collection or something special for an office lobby, you will find it at the festival.
And I think you bring up, too, Aim, you talk to the artists, because wouldn't it be interesting, let's go back 100 or 125 or 150 years, and you had the opportunity to talk to somebody like Monet and ask them, well, that's what you painted, but why did you paint those water lilies? Why did you happen to do more than one work of water lilies? What was your reasoning behind that? You can ask the artist why they do something or how they do it and what was their, you know, thinking behind it when they were doing it.
Exactly, and some of the artists will also be demonstrating on site. We have some glass blowers who will be actually blowing glass and doing some torch glass on site. We have painters, you can watch them in process. And when you understand the process, I think it gives you an additional understanding and appreciation for the art. So you'll have the chance to see a lot of art demonstrations at our festivals.
And what's unique, too, in the Amateur Art Festivals is that you can commission art.
You can. So whether it's at Barrington this week, Millennium the week after, Arlington Heights, those are some of our upcoming shows, or even Gold Coast, which is a ginormous show that we'll be doing in Grant Park June 20 and 21 over that summer weekend, you can find art that you love. If it's not exactly the right size, you can ask the artist if they can make a piece for you in a specific size. Maybe you need a tall, skinny piece, or a wide, long piece, or, you know, whatever it could be. And that's called commissioning, where you say to the artist, can you make a piece to these dimensions? And it's really great because it's very cost effective. You end up getting something that's exactly what you need, not kind of making something fit. So it's a great thing to do. It doesn't cost more. You work out the details with the artist, and it's a really interesting process for both the artist as well as the art buyer.
And art can be reframed if you don't like the framing, but you do like the art.
Absolutely. You know, frames are kind of like a fashion. You know, they come and go. What's in one year may be, you know, something that's not right the next year. But it's the art that you're looking at. And I say, you know, buy what you love. And art really adds to your home. It just adds to your life. It gives you a sense of kind of higher quality, I think, everywhere you go. And people often say to me, well, you know, my house is full. So I say, well, sometimes when something's been up too long in one place, you don't see it. So maybe if you want a really quick way to freshen up a room,
right,
get a new piece of art. And there's, you know, I have art, as you can imagine, in every single room of my house.
Sure.
Great art in my bathroom.
Right, absolutely.
You know, I have great art,
sure,
in my kitchen. So even, right, rooms that you wouldn't think necessarily can hold art, sometimes the art looks even more special there. And we have some shows coming up, Kevin, where you'll find special bodies of art. For example, at the Chicago Botanic Garden Art Festival that we'll be doing over the 4th of July weekend, that is art of a botanic theme, material, or use.
Oh, okay.
So for those people who love those botanic themes, that might be a great show to come to. And, you know, as I said, different festivals have different kinds of art. And I don't know if you know, but we have two new festivals this summer, brand new festivals in Chicago.
I was going to ask you, which ones are those now?
Well, on Michigan Avenue, right at the river, which is right by the Chicago Tribune building, we have a festival we are launching called Art Fest Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a brand new festival. It will be July 10th and 11th. And, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that weekend.
10th and 12th, right?
Yeah, 10, 11, 12. And it's right there, free to the public, beautiful, easy location. And we have artists coming in from actually all over the world for that festival.
Wow.
And then later in August, we're launching the West Loop Art Fest, which will be on Washington from Halstead going west for four blocks. And that festival will have a lot of live music, and it will have a lot of food. And, you know, that's a very happening area with restaurants.
Oh, sure.
So that'll be brand new, and that'll be fun. We have some of our big standby, you know, the really public favorites. The Port Clinton Art Festival will be the last weekend in August, and that's up in Highland Park. We have about 260 artists. That's one of the top-rated shows in the entire United States. And it's free admission. As you mentioned in the intro, you know, these events you can come to, you can enjoy yourself, and how many things are free? You know,
right,
not that many.
Right.
And we also try for our suburban festivals to always have free parking. City is another issue, but all of our festivals are accessible by public transportation as well. And something we haven't talked about yet, but I'd like to mention, is whether it's this weekend, Barrington, you know, or the Festival of Fine Arts coming up in Highland Park last weekend in June, we always have youth art activities. And yes, you can bring children to a festival. So whether they're your children or your grandchildren, bring children to an art festival and expose them to art. We do all kinds of fun activities on site. We give them hands-on art activities that they can participate in. And we also have Art Fest Bingo, where they get a bingo card. And what they have to do to fill the bingo card is find, it's kind of like a scavenger hunt, find a painting of a sunset, find a photograph of an animal. And it keeps the children engaged. And when the children are happy, the parents and the grandparents are happy. So bring the children. We also have live music at our festivals, so you can come and, you know, break it up. You know, these are not marathons. They're really enjoyment. So come look at the art, take a snack, a lunch break, go listen to some music, go look at some art. And generally, our festivals are in towns, Barrington this weekend, where there are great restaurants, and you can stop for a nice sit-down lunch somewhere. When we're in Glencoe, for example, which will be in early August, you know, there are great restaurants in Glencoe. So you can mix it up and just make it a full day. Art at the Glen in Glenview, August 8th and 9th. Certainly tons of restaurants over there at the Glen Town Center.
And certainly you won't see the same artists necessarily from one festival to the other. You'll see some repeats, of course, but there's always different artists at all the different fairs.
There are. In order to get into our art festivals, we call them juried art festivals, and that means that each artist has submitted work and they apply to the specific festival, and they have to get in through a whole point system where we have art professionals scoring the work, and then we only accept in the very top scoring artists. So each festival is unique, and you won't see the same artist at every festival. You know, you may see, you know, someone here and there, but they're unique. They all have their own character. The Evanston Art and Big Fork Festival that we end the season with in Evanston, late in a midsummer weekend there, mid-September weekend, that festival is very different from any other festival. It's a unique group of artists that you will see at that festival. And that's different from the Fall Festival of Fine Arts we're going to do in Oak Brook, September 12th and 13th, and it's different from the Southport Festival, which is July 18th and 19th. You will see unique groups of artists at every single festival. And I think that keeps it fresh. And we do see kind of groupies, you know, art lovers who come to a lot of the festivals. And it's always a new experience. It's always a new experience for me. And even if it's an artist I know, I never know what new work they're going to show. And it's fun. And it does make it fun, you know, when you're collecting as well. All the art is for sale, as I mentioned earlier. And you don't have to have super deep pockets to be able to buy art and enjoy it.
Now, 32 years, Amy, and I still feel and hear and see. And it was good to see you, of course, last week. Haven't seen you in a while. The passion that you have for it, and you continue to have that passion. I guess the question to be asked is not where the art fairs are this year, but where they're not, and will they be there next year?
Well, we are always, as I mentioned, we have two new festivals coming this summer, and we are always looking for, you know, new and great locations. And, you know, and then we also continue to fine-tune our festivals for those people who are looking to go a little bit outside of the Chicago area. And we started the Third Ward Art Festival in Milwaukee a few years ago. That's Labor Day weekend. So, you know, we look not only at Chicago, but, you know, other locations that, you know, that have people who are potential art lovers, you know. And so if you ever have any ideas, Kevin, for good locations, just mention them to me.
Well, the Honolulu Art Festival sounds interesting.
I like how you think. I really do.
You, you
right
mentioned
now, we're off to Barrington this weekend, so you don't need to catch a plane to get there. You can just get in your car, go to downtown Barrington this weekend, where, you know, we're going to have 137 artists, and it's going to be a great event. Today I'm calling you from Lake Street and Michigan Avenue, where we are preparing for the Millennium Art Festival, which will be 2 weeks away.
Right, May 29th to the 31st. That's great.
Exactly. So we're, you know, as I said, amdurproductions.com has all the information. You can even preview the artists who will be coming to the shows. We have their names and their art, so you can kind of take a sneak peek and see what's coming and see if anyone, you know, might be the kind of artist that you'd like to see. And, you know, we've been talking about paintings and photographs, but there is jewelry, and it's all handmade jewelry. We have a lot of jewelry at our shows, and that seems to be a perennial favorite among people who come to the shows.
And sculpture, well, big sculpture.
Oh, we have one artist, Frederick Prescott, who comes in from Arizona.
Is that the one that's at Arlington Heights?
Yes. And,
whew,
and
man.
And that art is so large, it comes in on a 53-foot truck.
Oh, I believe
it. It has to be forklifted in place.
Yeah, it's something else. Boy, it's something else.
It really is. So from the small to the large, you know, there's really everything there. And, you know, you can come and you can always find out something new and talk to the artists and, you know, learn about art and make it fun. And I feel like we really deserve to be outside after the long winters.
Oh, is that the truth?
So here are the hints. before you leave the house when you're going to an art festival, put on your sunscreen, okay? Because we're not used to it. Wear comfortable shoes. And when you're at the festival, take breaks often. And it really is entertainment. It's something to be enjoyed. And something new this year, Kevin, you know, we're always adding new things.
Sure.
We're providing free photographs of the public. So you don't have to pay a penny. We'll photograph you. We'll send it to you. And so you can look for our photographers on site, and you get a free souvenir. So how's that?
It's clever. And it's a family affair. It's a family affair. You can spend 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days at all of the fairs. Come. It's a destination for everyone. You'll have great restaurants. And if you want to get a hotel or a motel nearby, come back the next day because it'll be a great weekend for a family.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on site, Kevin. So I'm going to keep my eyes open. You came last week to our Oakbrook Spring Festival, so now we'll be looking for you at some of these.
Well, you know I'm going to be at Darlington Heights. You know I'm going to be there, but it's always fun there and a great place, as all the locations are. And it's always fun to come and, even if you don't buy something, it's just fun to immerse yourself in the creativity and imagination of somebody else.
I totally agree. And, every festival is different. At Barrington this weekend, we are going to be featuring over 100 entries of art from people who entered the Barrington Historic Poster Contest, in celebration of their 150th anniversary. So you'll see little special things at different festivals. At Gold Coast, we have big music stages, so that's a great place for music lovers, as is the Port Clinton Art Festival and Taste of Highland Park, which will be last weekend in August. So depending on what you like, you will always find something. It's multi-sensory, art, food, music, and fun.
As that great old poster says, expose yourself to art.
Absolutely. We want everyone to expose themselves to art.
Each Amder Art Festival is unique, yet all offer the same quality of artwork and level of joy. In addition to the artwork available for purchase at the festivals, many of the artists will make one-of-a-kind pieces for guests attending the festivals. There is live music at each festival with a lineup including rock, folk, classical, and jazz. Great food and beverages are available at each festival, along with fun activities just for kids, including games kids can play as they explore the art at each festival. Live artist demonstrations also take place at the festivals. Experience art in a memorable setting and discover festivals from Amder Productions, a nationally acclaimed arts festival production company. For more than 30 years, Amder Productions has crafted and curated a selection of the country's most prestigious juried art festivals, including the Chicago Botanic Garden Art Festival, Gold Coast Art Fair, and Port Clinton Art Festival. Founded by Amy Amder in 1983, Amder Productions attracts thousands of guests to explore and enjoy a showcase of artists' work in a free and fun environment. Several of Amder's Productions Festival have been selected as Sunshine Artists Magazine's Top 100 Best Fine Art Design Shows. The 6th Annual Barrington Arts Festival returns Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd and 24th, along Cook and Station Streets in downtown Barrington. This year, the festival, which runs from 10 to 5, coincides with the celebration of the village's 150th anniversary. The Barrington Arts Festival is delighted to serve as part of the festivities that are marking the village's anniversary, says Amy Amder, president of Amder Productions. Adding art to Barrington's already charming downtown, which is filled with fantastic cafes, boutiques, and restaurants, only enhances the village's appeal as a must-visit, must-see weekend destination. And on the line with us right now is Amy Amder. Always a pleasure, Amy. Always delightful chatting with you. If people would like to get some information, maybe a phone number or website.
Absolutely, and thank you, Kevin, for caring about the arts the way you do. We really appreciate your support.
My pleasure.
Our website is amderproductions.com. That's A-M like mother, D like David, U-R, then the word productions with an S.com, and our phone number, 847-926-4300. That's 847-926-4300. I've got wonderful staff. They are there, happy to answer any questions you may have about our festivals.
Always fun talking to you, kiddo. And I'll see you in Arlington Heights in a couple weeks.
I'm looking forward to it, Kevin.
As am I.
All right.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Amy Amder, what a terrific lady. And it's amazing. She started at Port Clinton. Now there's 20 fairs all over. And the question is, where will we be next? That's the question. And Just terrific. Barrington this weekend, Millennium Art Festival downtown on May 29th and 31st. The Promenade of Art in Arlington Heights, June 6th and 7th. The Gold Coast Art Fair, one of the oldest and most famous art fairs in Chicago, June 20th and 21st. Go on Amy's website and certainly get that information, because they're all over. You'll never miss a beat when you go down there. It's a lot of fun, food and music. And as I said before, if you don't want to buy anything, which I dare you that you won't, but immerse yourself in the creativity and the imagination of those people who make art, who put art together, whether it's jewelry, whether it's photography, whether it's sculpture, whether it's acrylics, whether it's watercolors, many, many different genres. And it's certainly a great time. And again, for information, 847-926-4300. A delight to chat with our friend Amy Emder. Well, I don't know any better way to introduce our next very special guest than maybe with some quotations from Oscar Wilde's play Lady Windermere's Fan. Here are a few. "We are all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars. I can resist anything except temptation. It is absurd to divide people into good and bad. People are either charming or tedious. In this world, there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. And finally, which is a very good one, what is a cynic? A man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing." Dead Writers Theater Collective dedicates its 2015 season to legendary playwright Oscar Wilde. Dead Writers Theater Collective announces their 2015 season, A Wild Affair, focusing on the theme of forbidden love with works by Oscar Wilde and Moliere. All works take place at Stage 773, located at 1225 West Belmont. This season marks the company's fifth anniversary and the first time the company is offering their plays for purchase by subscription. For more information, visit deadwriters.net. Since our inaugural production of Noel Coward's The Vortex, fans have been asking for subscription packages, and so we're pleased to mark our fourth anniversary with our first three-play subscription series, says Artistic Director Jim Snyder. Dead Writers Theater Collective opens their season with Oscar Wilde's four-act comedy of morals, Lady Windermere's Fan, directed by Dead Writers Artistic Director Jim Snyder, through June 7th at Stage 773. On her 21st birthday, Lady Windermere learns from a friend that her husband had been visiting Mrs. Erlene's home and spending large sums of money on her. When Lady Windermere confronts her husband, he curiously invites Mrs. Erlene to his wife's birthday ball. This sets into motion a series of events and misunderstandings that intertwine Windermere with a mysterious woman and her past. Lady Windermere's Fan has always been near and dear to my heart, says Schneider. We did three performances of the play in our 2013 Chambers series, and it was so successful that many of our patrons asked if we would do a full production of it. The collective is extremely pleased to include it in our 2015 season because it gives us the opportunity to fulfill the request from our fans and is the perfect vehicle to show off what Dead Writers Theater Collective has come to be known for, presenting theater with premier production values, fine acting, and the highest caliber of period authenticity. Add in our wonderful cast and a treasure trove of designer talent, and you get a deliciously rich, must-see theater experience guaranteed to be a highlight of the spring theater season. And on the line with us right now is the Jeff-nominated and award-winning director, having directed plays at the Court Theater, Theater of Western Springs, and the City Lit Theater. His productions of An Ideal Husband was heralded as one of the 10 best plays in Chicago by the Chicago Sun-Times. Proud graduate of the University of Houston, holding an MFA where he founded the Horizon Showcase Theater and worked closely with playwrights and Academy Award winner, the legendary Horton Foote. Teacher, mentor, one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago theater. And the artistic director and founder of the Dead Writers Theater Collective, now presenting Oscar Wilde's four-act comedy of morals, Lady Windermere's Fan, through June 7th at Stage 773, 1225 West Belmont. Our good friend, Mr. Jim Snyder. Jim, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be back.
Always a pleasure, and certainly one of the great wits of the literary world, Oscar Wilde. It must have been fun putting this together.
Yes, it was. It was a great deal of fun. This is a very large production, so we have 20 people in the cast, and then we've got a crew of about five. So we all had a lot of fun putting it together, and really relishing the opportunity to be able to play it every night.
Let's talk a little bit as we begin about Oscar Wilde, of course, and an Irishman who spent a lot of time in Ireland and England, of course. And I think if you could describe him, you would describe him as somewhat of a dandy, a very intelligent man, and he viewed life as a performance.
Yes, I think that's a very great description of him. I've been studying Oscar Wilde since I was about 16 years old.
Really?
He was really kind of my introduction into the theater to begin with, and I have probably just about everything that's ever been written on him, and he's probably my favorite playwright out of all of them. So I think that's a great description of him. I also think that he was a man that was about 100 years ahead of his time, and he was also, a lot of people don't realize, really the first English playwright to bring a naturalistic acting style to the stage.
Right. Explain that.
Up until that point, this kind of stems back to Shakespeare, but the English would present an elocutionary acting style, which there would be certain poses, and then there would be, they would almost sing the lines. Very different from what we have today. And Oscar Wilde was the very first person to actually tell the actors, I want you to just speak it naturally.
Oh, really?
Don't act it, just say the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I think that makes Lady Windermere's fans so wonderful, because it was one of the first plays where they ever did that.
Of course, his great work, or work that he was most known for, and maybe one of the finest farces in the English language, is The Importance of Being Earnest. Like, Lady Windermere's Fan came before that, right?
It did. It did. This was Lady Windermere's Fan is the play that launched him,
mm-hmm.
and that made him famous. Just before he had released the Picture of Dorian Gray, and that had caused a great sensation. And then Lady Windermere's Fan then premiered in 1892, and that really kind of established him, as one of the great playwrights. And the thing that makes Lady Windermere's Fan so modern, and he considered it modern, is in the fourth act, the wicked woman does not die of some hideous disease or go into a convent. She actually lives happily ever after. And that was shocking for his audience at that time. So he broke the mold.
You know, he died a young man, 46 years old, and I always felt that, and certainly haven't dissected Oscar Wilde as you have over these many years, but nonetheless, if you wanted him to write more, you wished he would have written more.
Mm-hmm. He said something very interesting when he came out of prison. He said, "I wrote when I knew nothing about life, and now that I know about life, I can no longer write."
Really?
Yeah. The whole experience with prison, it broke him. It mm-hmm. literally broke him. And actually, one of the second play that we're going to be doing in first play in our chamber series is The Judas Kiss by David Hare, and it's actually about Oscar Wilde, and it's about him before prison, and then it shows him after prison, and you see how he was really destroyed.
Was he just, as you said, 100 years before his time, was he just smarter than the common guy, or more attuned to things, or just more with it, maybe, than the common man or the common reader of some of his work?
I think that he was somebody that really enjoyed the element and the excitement of danger. You know, in many ways, Oscar Wilde was highly addictive, and he did drink a great deal, and he experimented with drugs, and of course, you know, everyone knows about the other part of his life, you know, with men, mm-hmm. and so he liked living life on the edge, and like most dandies, he really did fit the mold of a dandy, because many dandies died in poverty, and a lot of them died from either drug overdoses or they drank themselves to death. They always kind of came to an unpleasant end. And Oscar Wilde was all about sensation. He liked feeling sensation. He liked causing sensation. And the English could not wait to bring him down, because here was an Irishman poking fun at them. And you know, the thing about him is he always knew from the beginning that it was going to end the way that it did. And if you really study his plays, they're always about people that have fallen or going to fall, or right on the brink. And so he, you know, he really knew what was coming. He knew that this was going to be his fate, and he was very much a fatalist.
And his mother was a great influence on his life.
She was. His mother, yeah, he was probably a lot more like his mother than he was like his father. He apparently had the, he wasn't very good at grooming himself, and that he got from his father. Mm-hmm. Because his father had the dirty fingernails and all of the things that, you know, Wilde had. I mean, Wilde physically was not a very attractive human being. But everyone that ever met him, just as his mother, he dominated a room with his wit and his conversation. And he did get that from his mother. And he learned that through her salons at a very early age.
You've read so much about him, but those that haven't, it's very interesting. Certainly it was interesting to me to revisit some of his witticisms. He said some of the funniest things. I mean, when you think of it, I think that God in creating man somewhat overestimated his ability. The world is a stage, but the play is badly cast.
My favorite quote out of all of his quotes is that quote. It's so true.
Just a funny man. And you wonder if they caught it all, you know, if they got it all. I don't know if they got it all.
Well, what I will say is, I've got a very rare book that is actually a compilation of the people that actually knew him, and it's their firsthand accounts of their friendships and experiences with him, and what they all tended to say was the plays are a pale reflection of the genius of his wit in conversation, and that they don't hold a candle to what it was actually like being in a room with him and listening to him.
How was his first work, Dorian Gray, how was that reflective of his life or who he was, Jimmy?
Well, I think really at that time he was writing about kind of what he was going through. And, you know, you can't forget that he was Irish Catholic.
Right.
Oscar Wilde really was, he was a very superstitious man, and even though he didn't call himself religious, he still had a great deal of guilt about the double life that he was leading. And I think that the picture of Dorian Gray was really probably a very deeply close personal testament to what he was actually going through at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was around that time that he actually did meet John Gray, who he kind of really based Dorian Gray on, the character of Dorian Gray on.
Uh-huh.
And John Gray was the one who came before Bosie.
Mm-hmm.
So this all kind of happened around that time. And I really think Oscar Wilde wrote largely about good and evil and the fact that good and evil exists in everyone. If you really take his plays apart and you look at all of them, they all have that common thread that runs through them.
You know, there's still a timelessness of his work because it wasn't just a few years ago. I think Rupert Everett was in The Importance of Being Earnest, a great movie, a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that the director did a very fine job on that, and also An Ideal Husband, which I thought
was an
outstanding job on
right,
as well.
Right.
And having directed that and as well, you know, as seeing that movie, I really do appreciate how they handled the material. But it was interesting. One of the critics actually said that after the first 5 minutes that she realized how modern these characters, their situations, and the language of this play is.
Hmm.
It could have been written yesterday. And a lot of the people that have come to see this have actually remarked on that to me, how incredibly modern this play is, and I find that really fascinating. That's why I say I think he was 100 years ahead of his time.
Well, you should be complimented, as should the Dead Writers Theater Collective. Got some very great reviews. Things have been going very well, and you've been very successful. Give us a little background on the story of Lady Windermere's Fan.
Yeah, Lady Windermere's Fan it's basically about a girl who's celebrating her 21st birthday, and within 24 hours, through a series of events, she grows into a woman. And it's really exciting to watch this. She meets this mysterious woman, Mrs. Erlin. Her husband has been caught going to visit this woman, and this is a woman who fell from society because she left her family and ran off with a lover who then abandoned her. And so she was ostracized from society, and she really fell into the pit, and she had to kind of climb her way back. And what sets the whole thing into motion is she wants to have an invitation to Lady Windermere's 21st birthday ball. And that kind of sets everything in motion. And I don't want to give away, you know.
Spoilers alert, right?
But I don't want to spoil it.
No, right.
But the two women have a lot more in common than one of them knows.
Very interesting what they have in common. It really throws you off. That was kind of clever by Oscar Wilde.
It really is. And I have to say, you know, I've seen the show. I mean, I've directed it three different times, and one of my favorite plays, and watching this every night with this wonderfully talented cast, it really does touch me, and it moves me to tears in the fourth act when it all comes to its conclusion. It's really a beautiful, beautiful play, and it's one of the most lavish productions we've done to date.
Well, certainly exciting, and an exciting year to come. Tell us about the new season.
Well, like I said, we're in August, we are going to be doing The Judas Kiss by David Hare. This actually was just done in London in 2012 with Rupert Everett.
Oh, really?
And, yes, and he got absolute rave reviews on his performance as Oscar Wilde. I selected this for one of our collective members, whose name is Ben Moeller, and Ben has a striking resemblance to Oscar Wilde.
And he dresses like him also?
Yeah, he's going to be pretty amazing. And also, the person that has been cast as Bosie looks a lot like Bosie as well. So this is really a very talented group of actors, and it's a wonderfully written play. You know, David Hare currently has a big hit running in London. And I just think he's a brilliant writer. So we're doing that because our aim is to do a play by a dead playwright and then a play about a dead playwright, mm-hmm. when we can do that. And then in October in the Chamber Series, we're doing a very freely adapted riff on Molière's The Learned Ladies, and it's called The Learned Ladies of Park Avenue, and it takes place on Park Avenue in 1936, and it's entirely in rhyme.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And we're going to be giving that an air tape treatment, so that I think that's going to have gorgeous costumes.
Interesting.
It's going to be a beautiful production.
And that's part of the whole production. Your costume department and those who put the sets together are remarkable also, Jimmy.
They really are. They're award-winning. They're award-winning designers. And one of the things about us, and you talk about the attention to detail, that's something that we all have in common. We do a great deal of research on the era and on the play, and everyone has that same goal. And we are what you would call a design-centric theater company. So the designers are really some of the stars of our theater company, because our goal is to create the world of the play, to bring you into it for 2 hours, and make you actually believe you're in that time period.
And no one does it better than the Dead Writers Theater Collective.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Anyone who lives within their means suffers from a lack of imagination. True friends stab you in the front. All women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy. No man does. That's his. There is only one thing in life worse than being talked about, and that is not being talked about. That's certainly reflective of Oscar Wilde. And finally, the old believe everything, the middle-aged suspect everything, and the young know everything. Some quotes from Oscar Wilde. Dead Writers Theater Collective seeks to transport audiences into the original world of the play through extensively studied, period-appropriate settings, props, and costumes. This strict attention to detail and high level of aesthetics is a hallmark of the collective. The Collective, under the leadership of Artistic Director Jim Schneider and Managing Director Bob Douglas, is a Chicago-based nonprofit arts collective comprised of directors, designers, actors, and playwrights, and educators with a mission is to produce works either by or about dead writers. The Collective's 2015 season, A Wild Affair, features three works: Lady Windermere's Fan through June 7th, David Hare's The Judas Kiss, August 8th through the 10th, and David Grimm's The Learned Ladies of Park Avenue, translated and freely adapted from Molière's La Femme Savante. Dead Writers Theater Collective opens their season with Oscar Wilde's four-act comedy of morals, Lady Windermere's Fan, directed by Dead Writers Artistic Director Jim Schneider, through June 7th at Stage 773. And on the line with us right now is Jim Schneider from the Dead Writers Theater Collective. Jimmy, maybe a phone number or website if people would like to get some information?
Yes, absolutely. Our website is www.deadwriters.net. And our office number is 773-305-8221.
You know, always a pleasure chatting with you. Always enjoy the stimulating and engaging conversations we have, certainly about such a stimulating and engaging topic as Oscar Wilde and his work. And, you know, I look forward to chatting with you, and I'm sure that Ann Fink will set that up for some of the plays that are coming up.
Oh, wonderful. And it's always a pleasure talking with you as well, Kevin.
And you have a nice holiday season.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jim Schneider, the artistic director and a very talented man from the Dead Writers Theater Collective. Some of the great quotes by Oscar Wilde. He was quite a character and quite a dandy. But the play that Dead Writers is putting on now, certainly one of his favorite, Lady Windermere's Fan. And it's going to be playing through June 7th at Stage 773. For information, 773-305-8221. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our good friend Amy Amdur, the founder of the Amdur Arts Festivals. And certainly a busy season it is, the 2015 Amdur Arts Festival season, with the 6th annual Barrington Arts Festival coming up May 23rd and 24th in beautiful downtown Barrington. The 7th annual Millennium Arts Festival, May 29th, 30th, and 31st on Michigan Avenue and Lake Street. And the 13th annual Promenade of Art Festival, June 6th and 7th in downtown Arlington Heights. And a whole slew of other ones, 20 in all, and maybe even more. Who knows? We have the North Shore Festival Art and the Port Clinton Arts Festival and the Gold Coast Art Fair. For information, amdurartsfestivals.com. Or call 847-926-4300. And our good friend Jim Schneider, the artistic director and founder of the Dead Writers Theater Collective, now presenting Oscar Wilde's four-act comedy of morals, Lady Windermere's Fan, through June 7th at Stage 773, 1225 West Belmont. For information, 773-305-8221. And as Oscar Wilde said, a cynic is a person who knows the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. It's the unofficial start of summer, Memorial Day weekend. Be safe and have a happy holiday. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. Thank you.
if we can try with every day to make it better as it grows. Any luck, then I suppose.